Bro, what's up? Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight? Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where something happens. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razor Blades Frisbee.
Hey.
And this week we are joined by special guest from the Illogical Contraption Radio show, Mr. Shelby Cobras.
What's up, dudes?
What's going on?
Oh, just chilling. It's been a hell of a day.
What's been going on with your day? Exciting stuff?
No, nothing exciting at all. Just a general lack of sleep and too much coffee. And heading out to a show in the East Bay after we finish recording here. So, long day.
That's a big day. What's the show in the East Bay?
Oh, just a couple of my friends' bands playing.
Ah.
Stupid metal stuff. I don't know.
Stupid metal?
Shit nobody cares about. Yeah. I love stupid metal.
Wait, where do you live again? You're in...
I live in San Francisco.
Okay.
I work in the East Bay. I spend a lot of time in the East Bay. So Oakland, Alameda, San Francisco, that's my triangle of terror.
I did not know there was a metal scene out there, but that's awesome.
Oh yeah, of course. There's a huge metal scene out here.
Good.
Yep.
What's some of the crazy stuff? I know when we first started talking on the Facebooks and stuff, you said you saw some crazy stuff in Oakland. And I want to know what some of that crazy stuff is, because I've seen some real, real shitty places, and Oakland is probably the shittiest of them.
Oh, by the way, just to cut in, the only crazy thing I've seen in Oakland is Epic Beard Guy. That's the only thing I've seen.
See, this, I'm so glad you said that, Frisbee, because just speaking of random crazy shit I've seen in Oakland recently, I was waiting for a bus not 3 weeks ago, and Epic Beard Guy walked past me at a bus stop.
No shit.
Yeah, he was smoking a cigarette and talking to himself at like 7 in the morning. And I was like, huh, that's Epic Beard Guy. That's the sort of thing that happens when you live in the magical wonderland of Oakland, California.
It's beautiful. At least he's still keeping up appearances. Well, yeah, that's amazing that you actually had that set. I was thinking, like, there's no way. So it's got to be a big enough city where he's not run into him yet, but that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I ride the same bus line that all took place on.
Rad.
When I come to work. So yeah, and then there's all the Occupy marches and all that crazy bullshit all the time. It seems like once a month there's police helicopters in the air and shit's blocked off downtown and stuff. It's dumb. It's a bunch of hippie shit.
Yeah. They're just like out there sacrificing goats to their pagan gods, I imagine.
Yep.
And watching The Craft.
A classic.
I imagine that's what happens at these Occupy events.
And it's surprisingly accurate, actually.
Yeah, the one time that I went to Oakland, I flew in and I was like hanging out, like trying to get on the BART and like waiting for the BART to come. That way I could go to San Francisco and all this. And I was hanging out at the stop, and underneath, like the platform to get on the BART or whatever, there, you know, it was like this big gravel pit underneath. And there's like a bunch of trash and stuff in there. And one of the articles of trash was like this huge, like Volkswagen sized poster for a movie. And the movie was The Rundown, starring The Rock. And the movie had come out like 6 years prior to my trip. So that's when I knew that I was in like a really shitty town that for 6 years bothered to pick up this Rock poster.
No, there's shitty parts of LA where you'll see billboards for movies that have been out for like 8 years. And it's true, that's when you know you're in a really bad neighborhood. It's when the movie posters are really old. In defense of Oakland, though, Oakland is a great town. I was just in a really nice neighborhood in Oakland. There's really nice parts of Oakland. Piedmont's a great area. It's not all shitty. West Oakland is shitty, but there's some really nice parts of Oakland as well.
Yeah, I'd imagine that the part next to the airport's probably... It's always shitty no matter where you're at. If you're at the airport, it's shitty.
Yeah. I've actually been pondering, I might move out to Oakland in the near future.
Where do you live in San Francisco?
I live I live close to Golden Gate Park, actually. I have a really wonderful location. Yeah.
And that's pretty phenomenal.
I was bitching about my rent the other day to some friends of mine, and I was saying that, you know, my rent, I pay too much rent. I pay more than I can afford for a lot of space. And I realized I'm actually pretty lucky because most of my friends pay too much rent for not enough space. So I'm actually kind of lucky with the spot that I have, but it still is pretty expensive to live in San Francisco. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, if you work in Oakland, you're always being exposed to that other side of the bridge where you can just say, like, wow, I bet rent's pretty easy down here. You know, yeah. a bit lighter on the wallet.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, that's the price you pay to be a cool, hip San Francisco resident.
Yeah, man. Next to Golden Gate Park.
Coffee drinks. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I can hear the drum circles from my house. That's what I'm paying the big rent for, is to hear those drum circles coming out of Golden Gate Park.
I was going to ask if you live close enough to the park that you could, like, just walk down there and pick up a sea lion and make tacos out of it if you wanted to.
Yeah. There are a lot of sea lions in Golden Gate Park. Anybody that lives in San Francisco can tell you that's where they all congregate.
Yeah. I went out to that bridge one day and I was shocked. Like, I'm always shocked, like, ever since moving out here to the West Coast, like, I'm always shocked at, like, how there's just, like, huge animals just all over the place and people just seem to be cool with it.
Yeah.
Like, in all my life growing up in Ohio, like, the biggest thing I'd ever see is, like, somebody's large dog or, like, a raccoon or something.
Yeah.
And moving out here, like, people are just like, oh, there's elephant seals right over there. Don't worry about it. Just, yeah, they're fine. And
the tacos that are made from those elephant seals are delicious.
I would imagine that they would be.
There's elephant seal taco trucks out here. There's a whole culture built around it.
I kind of get the impression that sea lions are like the Canadian geese of the West Coast. Like, they just get in the way and they bark a lot.
Yeah. You're just driving down Van Ness in the middle of San Francisco and the street will just be blocked off by sea lions. It happens all the time.
Entire line of them just trying to cross the road.
Yeah.
They're going to stop and shuffle.
Yeah, they're Occupy Sea Lion protests. Yeah, they're throwing rocks.
They're mad at the great white sharks for being the 1%.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Canadian geese in Ohio, like, you can just run them over and, like, nobody really cares. But I guess
that's how it should be.
Yeah, I know. That's what animals should be for. Like, if they're on the road, then they're on your turf. Like, if you go out in the mountains or whatever and you get eaten by a bear, that's on you. But if there's a bunch of Canadian geese in the road, fuck them. Just drive right over them. No one's going to...
Well, not only are they animals, but they're Canadian. So they've got two strikes against them. There's two reasons they should be killed, you know, indiscriminately.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the Canadians are real people. Frisbee would disagree with that, though.
Well, yeah, Frisbee's wrong.
I'm still riding the kids in the hall kick, and I love gravy on fries, and you all are wrong for hating gravy on fries, if you do, in fact, hate that sort of thing.
I do hate that.
It's a shame. You're missing out.
I have not actually had gravy on fries, so I don't have a real opinion to put in here.
Well, I've never had it, but I can imagine that it would be gross. Also, the time that I was in Toronto, it was like 4 a.m. and we went to a restaurant and everybody was just enjoying this gravy on fries. And it just grossed me out being 4 a.m. after a bunch of beers and stuff.
Yeah.
Sick.
I can imagine it. It's the sort of decision that you'd regret quite a bit the next day.
I would think that you would regret it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, once it touched your tongue.
Yeah.
And see, we often talk about how much you like Skyline on this show. So I'm surprised that you're not, like, giving it, you know, the benefit of a doubt. Like, hey, I'm typically enjoying something really disgusting when I'm back home in Dayton. So what's the difference?
Oh, there's nothing disgusting about Skyline.
Well, to everybody else in the world, there is. That's my point. Like, I love Skyline. Hell, man. I would eat it daily if it did not destroy me. But yeah, man, same thing with gravy fries. Don't knock until you tried it. You're just watching other people eat it and you're acting like some folk from Texas. Like, ugh.
Poutine. It's called poutine, right?
Poutine, yeah.
Yeah, it starts with the word poo. So
Yeah.
But ends with teen, so it almost sounds like a euphemism.
That's like gross upon gross. I don't want to be involved with teens. Or poo.
Yeah, not because it tastes bad. It sounds illegal.
Right.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, you co-host the Logical Contraption show.
Indeed, I do.
Tell us about that show and how you got affiliated with the FCC Free Radio.
Go ahead.
I go to this site, and it's very confusing to me. Like a lot of the other shows that are on this, like there's you guys, and then there's also here's some of the things coming up this week: the Notorious B.I.G. Dedication Show, the Cock and Balls Show, the Mean Dave Show, and every show that aren't those shows have flyers that is just like a big butt wearing a thong.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I like about having a show there. There's a lot of hip hop sex shows. I should start from the beginning here. Corey, the co-host Corey of Illogical Contraption Radio, waiting for the name drop sample.
Oh shit!
No, just kidding. No, just kidding. Anyways, it was much more Corey's deal than mine. I started the blog of the same name over 3 years ago. Without any intention of ever turning it into a podcast or anything. And Corey hooked up with, didn't hook up with, you know, in the biblical sense, but he met this guy, John Miller, who runs FCCFreeRadio.com. And it's a legit radio station. It's got, they have two separate studios, 1A and 2B, that are fully decked out with computers and soundboards and microphones. It's like a real radio station. And the guy has, I think, about 50 shows going on in there. And Corey just thought, you know, take the basic idea behind the blog, you know, conspiracy theories and heavy metal and comedy and sci-fi and just all this sort of shit and kind of translate it into a radio show. And we're still sort of figuring it out. We've been doing it about 6 months, but he pitched it to John Miller and John Miller was having it. And we have the number two show on the station now, which is kind of cool. And it's fun to, you know, we get to take calls live on the air. It airs live every Friday, 10 to midnight. It's fun having a live show. Shit goes haywire a lot, but that's part of the fun of it, is that anything can happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to go live with a show one day, but then I wouldn't be able to edit out the parts where I miss the name drop.
Yeah, exactly.
But you do that anyway, though. I mean, this part's probably going to stay into the same show, I imagine, much like it did last week.
No, this is all getting cut out. We're not saving any of this up to this point. I want this all cut out. I'm a stickler for perfection. So, yeah, let's cut out everything up till right now. Parker, if you want to start the show.
Welcome to Pool.
Yeah.
The show about Stalin's cats.
You're going to have to cut out that part where I just stepped over your words. So you
totally. Yeah, we're going to have to start over again. Fuck.
Well, I'll just cut all this out and put it into next week's show.
That sounds reasonable.
We'll tell people that you are Justin Roiland.
Hey, folks, Justin Roiland here. I just want to let you guys know I came fully prepared tonight. I have 4 tabs open on my computer right now. I've had them open for the last hour. I have Julian Sands' IMDb page open. I have Jason Statham's IMDb page open. I have I'm signed into Juggalo Book right now. I'm at Hatchet Attack 665 if anybody wants to hit me up there. If you guys want to get on there, the chat box is fucking hopping right now. And then the 4th tab I have open is cakefarts.com, just because I was hoping to bum Frisbee out with some gross porn. If you guys have never checked out cakefarts.com, that's probably something everybody should do at some point in their life.
That's the last place that I expect to find porn, honestly.
Cakefarts.com?
Cakefarts.com. Yeah. Yeah, not at all. Like,
might as well just go ahead and a couple words of explanation. It's videos of chicks farting into birthday cakes. It's not like people eating cake and farting. It's people farting into cakes.
Does somebody else eat the cake afterwards, like immediately, or?
No, I don't think so. But they do branch off here. Let me open up cakefarts.com. They've branched off. They have meatloaf farts, pudding farts, all kinds of porn farts on this site.
See, I
recommend
know
everybody check it out. Yeah, it's a good.
I don't know what to make
site.
Of that. I'm not sure what to make of that kind of site. Like I know of. These different genres and fetish films, like smush films and all that kind of junk.
Right.
But farting on cakes and loaves, I'm not sure. That just sounds hilarious to me.
Yeah. Like, I've absolutely never masturbated to this site, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it sounds less like porn and more like just a fun, practical joke.
I know, yeah. It's so punny too. Like pinching a loaf on a loaf. That's all it is.
Yeah, nothing at all erotic about it.
Well, to some people, I'm sure, but man, that's odd. That's not what I guess that's exactly what I expected when you dropped the name. And then I was trying to think like, oh, it's got to be like a lot of clips and just weird stuff. And then it turned out to be exactly what I thought it was. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Huh.
Quite literally, cakefarts.com.
Well, let's talk about this Juggalo book. You invited me to be on there. And
right.
I couldn't find your profile, and I didn't want to just sign up and be homie-less because I figured I'd be ridiculed.
Did you manage to find... Do you have an account?
No, not yet. I couldn't find your account, so I...
I think I'm not sure. It's a pretty lame site the way it's set up. Ooh, I have 3 friend requests.
Hey, nice.
Confirm, confirm, confirm. I'm rising to the top on this motherfucker. it's built exactly like Facebook, but it's just really slow. And the search function's kind of fucked up. I listed myself as a juggalette.
Ah, that's why you got friend requests.
Yeah, yeah. So that might be the reason why you can't find me on there, is because I think it breaks down searches into whether you're a juggalo or a juggalette, or I think they have a couple other distinctions, maybe trans juggalos or something. But that's probably why you couldn't find me. I am on there though, and Corey, co-host of Illogical Contraption Radio. Really? Still no name?
I was looking at Juggalo Book. I didn't have the thing open. We need to
hire an intern. He's on there. He's on there now too, though. I just want to let you know he's on there. If you search "down ass ninju," NINJEW, he's like a Jewish ninja.
Now, are you trying to make friends with juggalos? Are you trying to infiltrate their community positively, or?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm really doing here.
You're practicing deception as a juggalette.
Yeah, that's true. Although I am being rather public about it. I mean, I'm sure most of the people on Juggalo Book listen to Pool Party Radio, so I'm being pretty open with my deception.
I'd say that's our key listener base. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Parker, you did change my mind about a couple things when we talked on Illogical Contraption Radio about juggalos. So I'm just giving their world a chance, you know. And I'll tell you, reading the chat box on Juggalo Book has been it's an eye-opening experience.
What are they talking about in there?
Oh man, it's just flying by. They're always talking about something interesting. Shit.
Usually like how much longer it is until 420 and stuff like that.
Yeah. Basically when the next time is that they're going to smoke weed, who has weed? When they're going to smoke weed, how much weed they have. A lot of interesting stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a very weed-centric community.
Yeah. I can sit here and read usernames and it'll keep me entertained.
I imagine they're all some variation of like clown, hatch,
yeah.
Ninja.
Yeah. Here I'm reading Juggalo Joker 213. Let's see. It's lots of hatchets and carnivals and clowns. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. It's a good way to kill some time.
I wonder if any actual clowns, like birthday clowns, get on there and they're like, all right, finally, a community for me. And then it's just juggalo clowns.
I'm sorely disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't been introduced to the dark carnival. So sad.
It's depressing for them.
Yeah. Parker, I wanted to let you know, since you were on our radio show, another change I made in my life, besides getting obsessed with Juggalo Book, is I did grow a Playful Secrets mustache.
Excellent.
A la Michael Cera.
How good does it look compared to Michael Cera's?
It probably looks about as good. It makes me look a little bit more like Hitler's mother.
Yeah. That's what you want, so, the mustache.
That's the effect I was going for, yeah.
I'm glad you have that going.
Yeah.
I learned a little bit from being on your show as well. I tried to pick Roadhouse to be one of the upcoming choices for the 300th movie for Junk Food Dinner, but it got shot down by the other two guys.
No.
Yeah, they shot it down.
I guess it's probably just too well known or something.
I'm not sure. We went with Break Into, The Warriors, Ice Cream Man, Surviving the Game, and a couple other things.
Really? The Warriors?
Yeah, The Warriors.
I just had a conversation this morning about how I never really liked that movie.
I love it. I didn't see it until like 4 years ago. So like I wasn't all into it as a kid like a lot of people are.
Did you see the new DVD version with the crappy like CGI?
Well, it was just like the comic panels, right?
Yeah. But they were added on.
It's kind of like a rotoscope transition scene for each of those things.
I did not like that.
Yeah,
I did not like that they added that on.
Well, I haven't seen it any other way, so I don't think.
Yeah.
I think the original version's on Netflix streaming. Like, you can get it without that. The original theatrical release.
Yeah. I'm not much of a fan of the original even, but I think, you know, the last time or two that I saw it, it had those crappy CGI comic things, and it just sort of seemed to me like when they redid Star Wars and added in a bunch of wacky, like, I'm in Jabba's palace, I'm a new guy. Like, I don't appreciate stuff like that.
Yeah,
also, yeah, it was a very Lucas move, I thought.
Also in this new version of The Warriors, Ajax shoots the baseball Furies first.
That's a deep cut right there, Parker.
What an important joke.
So going back to Illogical Contraption.
Yes.
On this show, I've said that show is about conspiracy theories and ghosts and things like that. Am I marginalizing your show, or would you say that?
Actually, a little bit. I had this conversation with Corey recently.
I'm no good at this.
All right, finally. I was having this conversation with Corey recently, and I think I've heard it from other people too. We often get categorized as cryptozoology, conspiracy theory, et cetera, based show, which we kind of advertise it that way, but we really most often just sort of devolve into talking about stupid pop culture stuff. We sort of addressed that in the last episode of the show, that we aren't really that based in paranormal type stuff. We have a lot of guests on who talk about that kind of stuff, but we really just most often just get really drunk and end up talking about, you know, Star Wars or whatever dumb shit pops up. So I don't know. There's a little bit of everything. I think in that way, it's kind of a good mirror of the blog from which it sprang, because there's a little bit of everything. We never really focus on one thing. It's just whatever weird shit pops up, you know?
I understand that.
Yeah. But we do enjoy a good conspiracy theory, whether it be the shape-shifting reptilians or, you know, secret CIA underground bases, what have you. It's good stuff to speculate about.
Yeah, when I told Kevin and Mark from Junk Food Dinner, I'm good at when I do it.
Yeah.
When I told those guys I was going to be on your show, they asked me like what, you know, one of my biggest conspiracy theories is, or what, like one that I'm into a lot. And it's really hard to answer that question, because when you believe in a conspiracy theory, like, you just think it's like a fact, like you don't really consider it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that being said, I'm going to ask you, like, what's one of your big ones here? Like, what's one that you're into?
Well, first off, we should probably address the fact that I don't necessarily believe in any of the shit that I write about or that we talk about. I take it all with a grain of salt. I think it's just much more interesting to talk about this stuff and to talk about the possibilities of what if it's actually true. Because I think once you actually start believing things, that sends you into some really dangerous Alex Jones type territory,
mm-hmm.
where you're going from exploring a topic to sort of pushing an agenda. And I definitely always want to avoid that type of shit. But if you know, if I had one that I was my most favorite to talk about, it would probably be the Illuminati reptilian shapeshifter type shit. There's just so much subject, you know, subject matter in that umbrella to go on, from, you know, underground laser battles with shape-shifting reptilians in New Mexico to, you know, the joint Orion Gray reptilian shapeshifter conspiracy that the, you know, Andromeda Council is battling in the fourth dimension. You guys are following me on all this, right?
Oh yeah.
I was going to let you just go through it, but yeah, this is actually one of the things that I was fascinated as being a conspiracy theory when I'd first heard about it, and I just could not believe it. Like, I mean, you grow up kind of hearing about Bigfoot, aliens, El Chupacabra, all that kind of junk, and then this just seems like a much recent thing, but if I'm not mistaken, this stretches back to like 80s or 70s?
Yeah, it goes back a while. I mean, it's hard to say where it really started, because there's definitely aspects of the whole, you know, this whole pantheon that came from different places. There's, you know, there's biblical stuff that people have chosen to interpret as shapeshifters or reptilians or visitors from space controlling the, you know, the top tiers of the government or whatever.
Right.
So it's hard to say where it really started, but, you know, it's definitely sort of come to a head in recent years with David Icke type stuff. I love reading David Icke's books. You know, it's not that I believe any of it, but man, it's some interesting shit to read, some entertaining stuff to read about.
Is that the main proponent of it? Isn't he from Australia?
Yeah. No, he's British.
Okay, I didn't.
But, yeah, he started off as he was like a soccer goalie or a footballer, I guess, in their language, in their backwards ass language. He was a footballer in the 80s, and then I think he was an announcer, and then he went public on a TV show and just kind of came out and said, hey, you know, like there's these reptilian shapeshifters taking over the government and the Illuminati and blah, blah. And then, yeah, he basically got laughed out of town and started his own cottage industry of writing books and publishing stuff about this whole conspiracy. And the great thing about the guy is I can read one of his books and learn a lot about history, you know, actual legit history, but then he just kind of goes off on these tangents about, you know, like, and this is why is because there's these lizards from planet Draco that are in charge of everything. So it's like, up to a certain point, it's actually pretty informative, and then he just goes off on these fucking wild tangents that are, you know, more entertaining than they are informative. But
okay,
still, reading
actually
one of his books is an adventure into itself.
So it's not quite the analogy that I thought beforehand, because I never read his books, but I was going to say, like, it sounds like an L. Ron Hubbard sort of guy, except he doesn't have the pyramid scheme. He's just doing, like you said, the cottage writing.
Yeah,
I would. History of writing.
Sure, I definitely wouldn't compare him to L. Ron Hubbard.
He makes a lot more sense, I'd say.
Yeah, he makes more sense, and he's not. I don't think he's necessarily trying to indoctrinate anyone.
Yeah,
he's just saying, like, you know, this is my opinion, and this is what I believe. He's not trying to start a religion and eat anyone's kids, you know, like right. Hubbard was.
What blows my mind about the lizard people phenomenon, especially recently, is just where it pops up, because like no one seems to, you know, spring forward with a Bigfoot comment, like when they're watching the news or when they post something on YouTube or whatever, but I'll see references to like this lizard person. That's right, I said it, this lizard person.
Yeah,
in fucking the weirdest places. The most recently I was watching and this is gonna be telling, like, I have a broad music taste, but I was watching this Robin Hitchcock video. And this British musician, singer-songwriter. He's been around for decades. And it was these two kids from like high school who made a video for a song that I couldn't find anywhere else. It was off this movie soundtrack. It's like, oh, this is kind of neat. And then like first comment was like, hey, nice video. This is really cool. Second comment, oh, this must be Idaho. This is really great. Little short film you did for this song. Love the song. Third comment is just a string of like these awful descriptions, like heroin addict, child molester, lizard person worshiper. And I'm like, what? And it's like, these are all descriptions of Robin Hitchcock and many more. And it's just some loony, like, among other things, Robin Hitchcock is apparently a lizard person worshiper, willing to like lay down and let them march over government interaction. It was just
he's a lizard person apologist.
Almost. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you're,
I for one welcome our insect overlords. one of those type of dudes. Yeah.
If you're a man and your name's Robin, you're probably working with the lizard people.
It's Robin with a Y.
So. Even worse. You're more lizardy.
That's hard.
Did you ever happen to hear of, I forget what it was. I think it's like Opie and Anthony or something. They had Louis C.K. on. And then they found Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah. And he called him out on the air for being a reptilian.
Yeah. He's like, are you or are you not a lizard person? And Rumsfeld just would not answer the question, not even acknowledge it.
Which is a sure sign right there. If you listen to the experts, they can't deny it when you ask them straight up.
God, that tickled my shit. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that's a great video.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first times I heard about these lizard people, I was at a bar talking to a friend of mine. We were like just kind of drunk and talking about politics and whatever. And she was all, well, you know, the politics, the left and the right, it's all the same because they're really being controlled by the lizard people, you know, from beneath the earth's crust and all this. And just going on about it. And I thought it was like some sort of really a dry joke, you know, like some dry sarcasm. And I started laughing and I was like, oh, you know, that's great. That's hilarious. That explains it all. Instead of Barack Obama, we got Barack Komodo. That's great. That's hilarious. And then she just like stopped and looked at me like real angrily. And she was like, I need to go get another drink. And that's the last time that I saw her that night. So I think that she was really super into the idea that there are lizard people.
There are plenty of people in the world that are dead set on accepting it as fact.
Yeah, she seems...
Which is fine with me. I mean, there's plenty of people that, you know, accept lots of religions and other crazy fairy tales as fact, too. So I figure, why not make it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
My problem with that is, like, why not give ourselves some amount of credit? Like, the two sides, I know that's a part of it, where it's like they're controlling the government, how we view the government. Not entirely. I mean, Super Tuesday was just yesterday. People are voting in primaries. I guess, like, if to some extent you want to say, well, the voting's rigged or whatever. We don't really know the outcome. But what about people who are tabulating it? Like, this has been, you know, centuries-long experiment of people.
No, they're all lizard people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got all it. All of them. It's a tier thing.
Also, there's no tabula.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I just read something on Juggalo Book chat box that said, I drank Faygo once, and a pink mushroom grew out of my ass. Long story short, I ran for president.
There's no way that those two actions are related.
But there was, I think that was just a little synchronicity that popped up when we were talking about Super Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
I think that guy is in the primaries, actually.
That guy's handle is Axe-Handed Barack.
I thought it was going to be like Santorum or something.
Axe-Handed Santorum works just as well.
Miracle Magnet. Miracle Magnet 666.
Miracle Magnet.
Yeah. Well, that's what I should have used for my fucking screen name, damn it.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com. And now
it's time
for the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round is that concession stand prices at AMC movie theaters are too expensive. Joshua Thompson has recently tried to sue AMC Theater in hopes of forcing theaters statewide to dial down snack prices. He recently purchased, I believe it was a Coke and package of Goobers for $8 total. And he said he was able to pick up the same food items at a fast food restaurant and convenience store for $2.73, whereas at the AMC Theater, it cost him $8. So apparently Someone is entertaining this as a case. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I chime in on this? Use your fucking brain, dude. Buy it at the fast food place and bring it into the theater.
Yeah,
right.
You don't need to sue anybody over it.
Yeah, that's what I've done like my entire life. I don't understand why instead of hiring a lawyer, he doesn't just go buy a messenger bag and fill up with all the popcorn and candy and cheeseburgers he wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just like any of my friends from high school who had that thrift store or army thrift huge baggy coat, and they'd carry, and this is no lie, a 2 liter of Faygo, speaking of Faygo, into the theater, and dozens of other snacks. Like, you can be as frugal as you want. I don't know what this guy's issue is.
I know. I always remember, you know, when sneaking candy into a theater, I haven't done it in a while. I don't know. I go to a movie, I just watch the movie. I'm not into popcorn really or anything. But I remember as a kid, you know, sneaking candy into the theater and thinking that there might be some sort of repercussion for getting caught. But have either of you guys ever heard of anyone getting in trouble for sneaking, you know, candy or soda into a movie theater?
Not ever.
Yeah.
No.
Nobody gives a fuck, right?
Yeah.
Especially like most of the people who are just working the floor and like checking in. Like, well, yeah, that's a Ziploc bag full of popcorn. I'm just gonna move right along. Like, no one's
that $7 an hour guy. He's not gonna fucking give a shit.
Yeah.
He's gonna put his life on the line to defend his movie theater.
Chop his hand off.
Right.
You saw that person with the Faygo bottle.
Defend the sacred AMC name.
Right.
Defilement by the plebes.
Yeah. And when you go to AMC, you're paying $15 for a matinee ticket for Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Like, the goobers for $4.50 is the least of your fucking worries. How about sue the actual movie peoples who are putting out this bullshit for so much?
Yeah, charging you $20 to see some 3D bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really the most expensive.
Sue Hollywood. Occupy Hollywood. We should get the sea lions on this one. Get the sea lions on the front lines. Shut down Hollywood.
Those politically aware sea lions.
God bless them.
They don't being tased or pepper sprayed either.
Nope.
They're very tough animals.
Yeah. They say, do tase me, bro. They're not scared of that shit.
That's true. They got that thick hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't feel a thing.
Unlike those emaciated vegans out there complaining about a little tasing.
Ugh. Go back to Vermont.
Yeah, whenever I go to the movie theaters, like, I'm always like trying to do it like super on the cheap, because like I used to work at movie theaters for years, and so I'm used to getting in for free. So now I can't stomach like going and spending all this much money at a movie theater. But my wife, she's always like, oh, we need, you know, two giant sodas, and we need the giantest popcorn, and we need like some pretzels and all this. And it's very insane. I understand that it's very expensive. Like, these movie theaters, all the ticket money goes to the actual movie makers, and then the theater stays open because of the popcorn prices and stuff. So I understand the economics of it and why they have to charge you $8 for popcorn. And it does hurt the wallet, but it's like, if you don't want to pay $8 for popcorn, don't eat fucking popcorn.
Sure. You know what freaks me out a little bit is the few times that I have gone into a movie theater and bought a soda in the last couple of years. I'll order a small soda for like $4, and they hand you like a 2 liter jug of soda, and that's their small.
yeah, that's another thing. Like,
you order a large, and they bring a fucking wheelbarrow out of the back. it's not right.
Yeah,
you really got to move this syrup, kid. We just have to give you this much in one cup.
I think they should just move on. They should just bypass the whole small, medium, large system and just have maybe just IVs set up at each seat in the theater.
Yeah.
So you can just mainline syrup.
They just give you like the little keg, box keg of the syrup itself.
Just mainline straight sugar during the course of the film. That would probably save the theaters a lot of money. This would be a non-issue if they would just go with that idea.
Yeah. I like that idea. Problem solved. What's the next
thing?
Well, just to wrap this one up, Gary Victor of Eastern Michigan University, business law professor, states that this already is not going to go anywhere. Most of these theaters are regulated, so this lawsuit's not really going to take any footing.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't imagine that it would. Otherwise, it would just open up everything to, I don't like spending $300 for an iPhone. I might as well sue. And then what would the world come to then? If you could,
chaos.
Yeah, if you could sue over that. I mean, we sue over absolutely every other thing on the planet.
Next thing you know, you'd have old ladies suing McDonald's for their coffee being too hot. We can't have that.
It would just become a stone age.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd like to get into this next story, though. DARPA cheetah robot can run faster than you. The Defense Department, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, otherwise known as DARPA, has made a four-legged robot that can run up to 18 miles per hour. It's called the Cheetah. They're not exactly sure what it's going to be used for yet, except to terrify anybody who watches a video of it running on a treadmill. It's a very disturbing looking thing. It looks like the facehuggers from Half-Life, if you want to describe it in any sort of way. Also, to make another video game allusion, I did not know that's what DARPA stood for. So now Metal Gear Solid makes a lot more sense to me.
Yes.
Did any of you play Metal Gear Solid?
Nope.
The DARPA initiative?
Nope. Okay. You're on your own then, this one, Frisbee.
Yeah. I just played enough to hide inside a box, and then I got bored.
I played Metal Gear on 8-bit Nintendo, and it was pretty cool that you could smoke cigarettes. That's all I know about Metal Gear.
Yeah. That was a weird feature for that one, too, because it was just slowly take down your health.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple cool little sequences. Did either of you guys play Golgo 13?
Yes, I did.
8-bit Nintendo? You know when he like bones down on that chick in the hotel room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one of the high points of my childhood, was when you get to that level and the light goes out and you know you're boning it to that hot babe in the hotel room.
Well, I was pretty oblivious and naive at that age.
Yeah.
So I just thought like, oh, they must be going to sleep.
Oh, poor naive Frisbee.
Yeah, that's what you would think now.
Poor 5-year-old Frisbee.
Yeah, I knew what was going on, man. I must have a couple years on you because I was about 8, so I knew there was some major boning going on.
Oh, yeah.
When that light went out, Golgo 13 was getting his.
Yeah, back to the scary porcupine robot that runs. I don't understand why the fuck anybody would make anything like this. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't understand why we're helping the robots be able to chase us better when the time comes for the inevitable robot-human war.
Well, I think... Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say you would have to ask Reptilian Shapeshifter to get a real answer to that question. We have no way of knowing their true aims.
Now that you bring that up, like that... Yeah, the robot shapeshifters, the lizard shapeshifters,
sure,
and or any of these shapeshifters, like that must be the most logical explanation for this, because I don't understand why we have a department of government workers working to get a robot to run fast. Like nowhere in this story does it say what they're going to use the goddamn thing for. And in my wildest imagination, I cannot imagine why we would need a robot to run fast, being built by the Pentagon.
Like, you know, maybe your brief verbal slip there might be an explanation. Maybe they are trying to make robot shapeshifters. Maybe they're developing Transformers. Maybe Michael Bay is working with DARPA. Maybe that's the aim of this whole project.
I see no other logical explanation than that, because
absolutely,
I mean, unless they're trying to build crazy robots that can chase down Taliban members, which seems pretty far-fetched. I mean, like, the real explanation must be a lot more logical than that.
Well, it's terrifying to look at. I mean, we've established that. So if anybody saw this robotic creature running towards them, they would probably just run in the other direction.
That's true. So members of the Taliban do think that sorcery is afoot when they see a woman drive a car. So if they saw a running robot coming at them, they would probably just think it was the apocalypse.
Well, that might be one thing that me and the Taliban have in common.
The sorcery of a woman driving a car?
Yeah, yeah. I often assume it's just sorcery when I see that sort of thing happening. I know it's unenlightened of me, but, you know.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode every day for you.
Yeah.
It's like Occam's razor. The simplest answer.
Right. The simplest answer being sorcery.
Yeah.
Wizard
yeah.
magic. At the end of the article, it states that this could be used for emergency response, such as firefighting, and advanced agriculture and vehicular travel.
Nope.
I don't know anybody who would have ride on a running robot.
Nope. I think, long story short, DARPA is building Megatron.
Yeah.
Or Metal Gear, if either of you actually played through the Metal Gear games, because that's what the fucking thing is about.
Or DARPA's just sitting around like, hey, we have $5 billion of these taxpayer dollars. You guys want to make a robot that runs? Sounds fun.
Actually, their annual budget is $3.2 billion.
I wasn't far off.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I looked it up on the old Wikipedias there and was looking right at that figure when you said that.
So, yeah, when you have $3.2 billion, if I won the lottery and I had $3.2 billion, I guess running robot would be, you know, in like the top 10 things I would do with my money. So I guess that's probably just what they're doing. It's just having fun.
Also, I think you're expecting way too much of robotic development. Like, do you really expect like a transformer to come next after robotics as they are right now? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Cause this is why most development is hidden. Cause they're doing like these steps to get to that place and well, not to a transformer obviously, but like to something that's a bit more mobile and interesting. And when people see this, they're like, oh, what the fuck? This is where my money's going.
Yep.
Just like this response. I mean,
well, 50 years ago, we got to the moon with like basically a clock radio worth of technology in it. And now this is the best we have is a robot that runs like somewhat slower than most people who run like in their lives.
And granted, it's not even like on rocky terrain yet. Like if they put this on any sort of uneven ground, I mean, just imagine all the falls that would happen.
Also, it just looks like wires and sticks.
Right. Yeah. This is the development stage. So it's like, this isn't going to be like, hey, we've made this thing. So now let's use it, I guess, for something. I mean, yeah, this is a step in it. It's just saying like, hey, we're able to make it run on a treadmill for 18 miles per hour.
Now, this isn't a step. This is the end game. It says in the story that it runs at 18 miles per hour, which is 5 miles per hour faster than the previous record set in 1989. So in that time,
5 miles per hour is all they got.
Yeah. In over 20 years, you got 5 miles per hour. It's time to give it the fuck up.
That's like bogus.
Yeah. If you look at a phone from 1989 and you look at a phone now, that shit is an incredible difference.
Yeah.
Way more than 5 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. I just stumbled on another rabbit hole here on the internet. I was looking at other DARPA projects. Turns out they're working on they have a current active project. They're building a flying car called a TX or Transformer.
Nice.
Oh.
Yep. It's a 5-year project currently in production.
So basically, I think we're establishing that Earth is the future Cybertron.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's just a matter of time. And I don't understand why it would be a flying car, though, because that's like a hybrid Decepticon and Autobot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one it is. Is it both? Is this like the Eve seed of it?
I think if DARPA's working on it, I think they're all Decepticons.
Yeah.
DARPA's not working on anything for the good of mankind.
Yeah.
They're here to enslave us.
As evidenced by their weird wire porcupine thing with the spikes for feet.
Yep. I think we can all probably look forward to running from one of those and being chased down to our death in the very near future.
Well, to repeat the earlier phrase, I for one welcome our new robot overlords. So
there you go.
Our only hope is to somehow get the robots and the shape-shifting lizards mad at each other.
Absolutely.
They might be mad already if that's what they have to deal with. Like a four-legged running thing on a treadmill. Out of my face. Well, you want to talk about ghosts next?
Indeed I do.
All right.
The third part of this trifecta of doom and apocalypse.
Your worst fear, and Adele's as well. Adele fears her $11 million West Sussex mansion is haunted, as she has recently told a British tabloid. The 23-year-old singer has told friends she's worried that she has an unwanted roommate in her $11 million home and claims to hear a rattling noise somewhere within the 10 bedrooms and 2 swimming pools of 25 acres grounds.
I could tell you right now who that ghost is living with her. It was that talented pop singer that she ate sometime early last year. Right before her rise to fame.
That is a great joke.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to me that somebody would go public with this. Like, yeah, Adele, you know, she bought the house and everything, but there's ghosts. And I understand it was probably just one of her friends who wanted like the $100 or whatever that the tabloid offered her. But still, this is very funny that you would find a headline that says, you know, multiple Grammy Award winning artist and then ghosts in the same sentence, in the same headline. I like the news. I like where it's going. A lot of people say journalism is dead. Not me.
I think journalism is just being born.
Yep.
As long as we have things like this happening.
Yeah, on the sidebar of this news story is Rihanna launches Twitter feud with Chris Brown's girlfriend. So, big news a popping here.
Do you feel like you're missing out now that you're out of the news game, Parker? Would you go back in for stories like these about ghosts and petty Twitter feuds?
That's all I ever put in the newspaper anyway. Pulitzer Prize winning Xenia Daily Gazette. Top story is Caesar's Creek, haunted by ghosts of dead fish.
Also, 4-year-old missing for 5 days. Sub-story, continued on 8A.
I do like the lead in this story, which is Adele may be rolling in the creep, which is a pun, and it's funny.
It's hilarious.
Do you believe in ghosts, Shelby?
I... Like I said before about conspiracy theories and whatnot, don't really subscribe to one side of the argument or the other. I think it could be a possibility that people might leave behind some weird energy or something after they die, but I'm not one to say yes, ghosts exist or no, ghosts don't exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. If you were in like a dark basement, and you heard some whispering.
Yeah.
What would you like?
Definitely ghosts.
Yeah.
Definitely ghosts. In that situation, yes, 100% ghosts exist.
Yeah. What if it's just your creepy uncle? What then?
Well, it depends on his mustache.
Your creepy uncle is Michael Sarah.
I would have to light a lamp or something and see what condition his mustache was in before I made any sort of.
Oh, you can never do that. If you're in a basement that's dark and you hear whispering, you'd never want to light a lamp, because as soon as you do, there's going to be a big scary face right next to you.
Yeah.
That's the first rule of ghosts.
Yeah.
I think that's where I am on the ghost argument. Like, I don't believe in them, but if anything like slightly scary happens, then I do believe in them. And I believe in them hard until the scariness stops.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that being the case. Believing one way or the other, depending on your situation.
Yeah, depending on how scared you are at the moment.
Yeah.
According
and just taking precautions to not elicit some sort of cliched involvement with a ghost. Like, all right, heard something creepy, so I'm not going to do the normal jittery stuff.
You guys stay here. I'm going to go check out the attic.
Yeah.
Let's split up and go look in the woods.
Right. None of that. You'll just turn up crank 2 a little bit louder than what it was already.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ghosts are a lot like bears. Like, if you see a bear on the mountains, like a you're not supposed to run, because, you know, that's like what prey does. Mm-hmm. And that's like what ghosts are. Like, if a ghost is near you and like you go, what was that? Or like you light the lantern, or you go, Billy, was that you? Like, all that's like, that's what prey does for ghosts.
Yeah. They sense fear like dogs or crackheads.
Yeah. So what you're really supposed to do if you come across a ghost is just start banging two pans together.
Uh-huh.
Like a bear.
Scare them off.
But if it's like a ghost, that's a whole nother story.
What if it's a ghost bear?
There's no
defense for that.
Yeah, you're dead. If it's a ghost.
I think you need like four pans instead of just two.
Or you can get on 4chan.
Get on 4chan and just show the ghost that, the ghost bear that. Show him a pedo bear and he'll freak out.
Yeah.
Or just punch up cakefarts.com, I'm sure. That'll scare the ghosts away in a jiffy.
Or just make him chuckle.
Right.
The first comment on this story is, what an idiot. There's no such thing as ghosts. What she needs is a plumber or a smaller place. So I like that guy. Anytime there's a ghost discussion going on or a ghost argument, this guy has all the proof in the world is that it's just that you need a plumber.
Yeah, it's old. It's pipes.
Yeah.
Squeaky pipes.
Yeah, bad pipes always sound like rattling chains and whispers of the phrase "get out."
Yeah, I bet Adele's got her share of squeaky pipes too, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
I'm not actually sure what I mean, but I don't know. The joke was there. No, presented itself.
No, that's a really smart joke.
Thank you. Is that Anthony Jeselnik?
Indeed, it is.
Is he there with you right now?
Yeah, he lives in
Cool. Tell him I said hello. It's been a while.
He just listens and makes those same two comments.
He's a great co-host. He's predictable. That's one thing you look for in a co-host of a radio show. It's predictability. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want too many surprises.
That's true.
Thank you, Anthony.
So let's get into that Frisbee Got Mail by pushing this button.
Frisbee Got Mail.
Our first email is titled Salty Razor Blades from James. And it goes on to say, Jason swearing up a storm over class warfare and basic decency, as well as Parker quoting El Scorcho, A Normal Conversation, is enough to make me realize I made the right choice listening to Pool Party Radio instead of Marc Maron or Adam Carolla. It's very nice.
That is very nice. And speaking of the class warfare, I dug deeper into that story. The tipper, the guy who left a 1% tip on like a $135 tab at a restaurant. And it turns out that was photoshopped. The real amount was $33.54 and he left a $7 tip. The guy who made the blog post used the guest copy to write "get a real job" and he was just trying to stir up some class warfare of his own.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember there was a lot of speculation about whether that actually happened and what the guy did or how he even left that tip. But what was the original amount?
$133.01. Or something like that? No.
$133.
And $1.33.
Yeah.
1%.
Well, what was the tip that was actually left? $33?
The amount was $33 and the tip was $7, which is...
That's pretty fair.
Yep.
Now, I think this is just irresponsible on the part of the guy who faked it. Because what if somebody, I could totally see it happening that somebody would track down that shitty tipper and, you know, unjustly slay him, rip him to shreds, and then we'd be left with nothing but a bunch of tipper gore. Sorry, that was a real stretch for not much payoff.
What an important joke.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. It's nice to have you here.
But yeah, this guy clearly just trying to stir up some crap. He hated his boss. He hated his rich boss. And he was just trying to get people mad at rich people. And it's silly. It's silly. Now,
I'm sorry to take it back a minute. What was the heading of that email you just read?
Salty Frisbee or Salty Razor Blades.
Salty Razor Blades. I wanted to bring something up. Was I correct in hearing recently, somewhere in the last couple episodes, didn't Parker call you Razor Blades Cobra Frisbee or something? Wasn't there a cobra in there somewhere?
Yeah. We deemed that because his parents wanted to name him after a pop culture song, that if he would have been born a couple of years later when G.I. Joe was big, his name would have been Cobra Commander.
Yeah, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, I brought up, I think, the last episode that this might come to blows.
Yeah. Snape. Yeah. Frisbee, you stay the fuck out of San Francisco.
For what?
Cobra's my turf.
Frisbee, I don't understand. What's going on?
He's got the East Coast Cobras.
Yeah. We can't share a name. We can't share a nickname.
Ah, yes. Got it.
This country's not big enough for two cobras. Unless one of them is Sylvester Stallone. In which case there will always be room.
Well, I mean, once you get like a second nickname like I have, then we can talk.
Yeah.
But so long as it is Shelby Cobras.
It's all I've got.
Well, I guess who's taking it? Jason Razorblade, Cobra. Frisbee.
All right. Well, why don't you tune into a Logical Contraption Radio next week with Shelby Razorblade's Cobras. We'll see how this all plays out.
I still went up with Frisbee.
I like the way that this is like going to Cold War escalate until finally you guys just have 30 nicknames, 30 of the coolest, most vicious animal nicknames.
Hopefully that's how it turns out. I think that's sort of a best case scenario.
Yeah, they're very much like old school Catholic names, except just with really badass references.
Yeah.
I'd like Shelby, to turn it into sort Tasmanian, of a Tasmanian, Cobra, Razorblade.
Yeah, I'm thinking it would sound good with sort of a Spanish twist to it, you know? Shelby de la Cobra, all razor blades, de la Montanas, you know, something along those lines.
La Flama Blanca.
It's a work in progress. We'll have to keep working on this.
Yeah, this is very much it's a literal, very, very literal Cold War. Like, there's no way that this is going to escalate to any sort of fight. But still, we're obviously both a little bit miffed about this.
Hopefully it doesn't turn out like the real Cold War and it ends with one of you guys starving to death.
Well, that could be interesting too. It could make for interesting radio.
Could that go either way? Like, I don't know if I'm going to starve to death. I thought I was going to a few weeks ago. Do you feel like you are about to starve to death?
Right now?
Yeah, recently.
Right now. I'm doing pretty well. I'm a pretty healthy guy, but actually right now it's been a long time since I've eaten. I might be starving to get to death right now.
We're gonna drag this show out a little bit longer, just see.
I know
that's
you know what I was gonna say. We should probably turn this into some sort of weird hunger strike type situation. Be great for the ratings.
Yeah,
the
cool
analytics.
Party Hunger Games editions.
Oh, subscribers are going through the roof.
Oh man,
that's right. Next up on Frisbee Got Mail is a email titled "Frisbee's Got Mail." And it's from Shelby. It says, "Dear Jason and Parker, you should ask me about the time I worked backstage at a Barry Manilow concert. Your friend, Shelby Cobras."
Oh,
so,
how weird.
Shelby, what was it like that time you worked backstage at a Barry Manilow concert? What was that about?
It was really weird. He, first off, Barry Manilow looks like a weird Muppet. he's had a lot of work done. He's very, very Botox-y. But we were also the crew at this particular concert. It was a fundraiser sort of thing for CEOs at Safeway Incorporated. But the crew was all instructed not to look at Mr. Manilow in the face. He's one of those guys, you know, one of those celebrities that you're not supposed to look at directly.
Who had work done and realized that it looked terrible?
Yeah, he realized that he looked like Kermit the Frog, and so he didn't want anybody actually gawking at him. He's pretty disturbing presence already. But anyways, this was like my first day on a new job, and they had me sort of working as a showrunner. Mr. Manilow, before he would go on stage, demanded a pound of shelled, unsalted pistachios before he would go on stage. And so naturally that fell on me to be the guy to go find a pound of shelled, unsalted pistachios somewhere in, I think it was like Concord, California on a Saturday afternoon. So I ended up going to a Trader Joe's and a Safeway, and one place had salted, unshelled, and another had shelled. You know, nobody had what he wanted. So I ended up buying, buying a pound of shitty pistachios, and there was actually somebody further down the totem pole from me that ended up shelling a pound of pistachios so that Barry Manilow could look at them before he went out on stage and performed. He didn't actually eat any. He just wanted to know that they were there.
That's precious. Yeah, just want to know it exists.
What a guy.
Just to touch upon the what he looks like now, he actually kind of resembles one of the rubber puppets from the Genesis Land of Confusion video that we were talking about recently.
Yeah,
just very grotesque and distorted.
I loved that when I was young.
Yeah, it was very, very creepy.
You know who doesn't look like a Muppet or a Land of Confusion puppet? And you know who would never demand a pound of shelled, unsalted pistachios?
Who's that?
Julian Sands.
There you go.
Drop!
I have that one.
You know, I meant to bring this up earlier, Parker, but I just saw that Boxing Helena for the first time.
Oh, it's so good.
Which is, yeah, it's that Clint Eastwood movie, right? With where Hilary Swank plays the female prize fighter.
That's exactly the one. Yeah.
the titular Boxing Helena, I believe was her name in the film.
That's a terrible joke.
Anthony.
I think that's a fantastic joke. Yeah.
I thought that we were going to talk about cutting the arms and legs off of Sherilyn Fenn for a little while.
We can still if you want.
Now the time is.
It's not like you haven't before.
I think about it all the time.
You think about cutting off Sherilyn Fenn's limbs?
Playful spirits.
She's very beautiful, and I want to have her all to myself, much like Dr. Nick Cavanaugh.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you one bit. I would start by cutting off that birthmark, that beauty mark she has, though.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's a bit distracting.
Yeah.
But it was like the late 80s. That's what they were into.
Yeah. Asymmetry. Cindy Crawford, right?
Yeah. With Frisbee Got Mail being over, that's the end of this show. I would like to thank Mr. Cobras for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. You can check him out on Illogical Contraption. It comes on Friday nights at 10, right?
Yeah, 10 to midnight at fccfreeradio.com, Studio 1A. We're also on iTunes. Just search Illogical Contraption or Illogical Contraption Radio. We're 25, 26 episodes in. Illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com. We also have a Tumblr page, which is illogicalcontraption.tumblr.com. I recently joined Twitter at Shelby_Cobras, so everybody should go follow me there because I say tons of funny jokes. Every time I post something, I think to myself, what an important joke. everybody go over there and, I don't know, I'm doing that shit now. I'm kind of embarrassed about it, but it needs to be done.
Yeah, Twitter, I was at first... against getting on Twitter, a bunch of my friends are like, hey, join that Twitter. But then I realized that I could say jokes and I don't have to like put up with like the shitty counter jokes that all my friends on Facebook would comment with.
Sure.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I'm down with it. I'm down to just post stupid jokes all day long. But the one holdout I have is that I refuse to use the term tweet or tweeted. It still doesn't feel right coming out of my mouth. So
how do you address it? Like that thing I posted on Twitter?
Yep.
That's good. Yeah.
I'll work my way around it. It just doesn't feel right to me.
There's something perverse about all that Twitter
terminology. Yeah, to be a grown man saying tweet over and over.
Like,
it feels yucky. Yeah. Yeah. I just tweeted all over your Facebook, bro.
You need to change? That's disgusting.
Yeah. You can also follow Jason Frisbee on Twitter. His name is cobras_cobras. JKJK, it's at Jason Frisbee. You can also, most importantly, go to our website, poolpartyradio.com, where we have a link to Illogical Contraption and where we have all our old episodes and a link to our iTunes. I was on iTunes this week looking for new shows because a bunch of my shows that I listen to regularly are on hiatus or dead or whatever it is. And I was looking for these sort of middle shows, not these Marc Marons and all this, and not the shows that you find on Podbean with one listener, but the middle of the road shows. And, I was looking at them and gauging by the comments whether I should download them. And the ones with like between 50 comments and 200 comments were the ones I was looking for. And I realized without even thinking that was a sweet spot. You can trust a show with about that many comments, with at least 50 comments. So it would tremendously help us a lot if you go to our iTunes and leave a nice rating or a comment or review or whatever it is, because I'm sure if I was thinking that, other people think that if a show has less than X amount of reviews and comments, that they're probably shitty and nobody listens to them. So if you could do that, that would be helpful.
I just want to back up your point there and say, like, I think there is a definite, like, sort of middle underground sort of podcast world happening now. Where there's, you got your top tier WTFs and your comedy bang bangs and your blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot more really good underground sort of programming coming out. I would categorize Pool Party Radio and Junk Food Dinner and Kissing Contest and The World and Why and all that good stuff is sort of like, yeah, it's in that 50 to 200 range, and it's damn good stuff. You don't feel like a chode because there's nobody hawking fleshlights or trying to sell shit to you. It's like just bros doing good podcasts, and I appreciate that. I consider you guys part of that movement, so thank you for your service.
I'm glad we were trying to sell those. Thank you, and thank you for giving us the heads up, because I think next episode we're actually going to try to hawk some fleshlights.
You know what? It would be a cool idea to just start, because fleshlight wouldn't stop you if you just started doing fleshlight ads on your show.
That's probably
free advertising, right?
Yeah.
Just fucking roll with it.
Maybe we will. But then
this episode was brought to you by audible.com. sign up there to get all your pool party needs.
Yeah. For now on, we're going to start all our shows by creepily talking to Red Band about how we fleshlights.
I'm a Joe Rogan fan. I'm not going to lie.
I like him, but I hate that Red Band fellow. And I think it's creepy.
Red Band is a douche.
Yeah, here's my impression of Red Band. You guys start talking about shape-shifting lizards for a second.
So anyways, the interesting thing about the shape-shifting lizards is they've been here since biblical times.
Hey, have you guys ever met Christopher Walken?
Oh, Brian. No, I know. I was just listening to a Rogan today that they were in some deep conversation about politics or, you know, government hierarchy, and he just chips in with, I was driving down the street and 3 15-year-old girls mooned me. It was crazy. Got these weird fucking non sequiturs. Like, come on, dude. Nobody was talking about that.
Yeah, no, he always interrupts like the most intense conversations for just crap.
Yeah, yeah, he's a douchey fella.
Yeah,
but I like Rogan, and I get a lot of shit for it on Illogical Contraption Radio. Nobody else on that show has any respect for Rogan. They think I'm like a UFC jock or something because I listen to that show. But I think they're just uninformed.
Yeah, I like him about 85% of the time.
Yeah. He goes off on his dumb tangents too. But I like the speculation about psychedelics and conspiracies and whatnot that they get into.
Yeah.
Word.
So yeah, so for now on, we're going to be advertising the Joe Rogan podcast
via fleshlight.
also, another thing to plug is our facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Go there and like us, and you'll be able to see the cool picture of Julian Sands' Pool Party Radio logo that Seth Kuzer made, which is fucking awesome.
Oh, Illogical Contraptions on Facebook too. You can find us there.
I think that our page links to your page.
Nice.
That's how we bring it all together. It's a nice community.
Yep.
Also, remember, next week we will be joined by Justin Roiland, the host of the Grandma's Virginity podcast, the creator of The House of Cosby's, actor and writer for Acceptable TV, Oscar on Fishhooks, Gold Farb on Adventure Time, and a million other things. A very funny dude who will be on the show next week. So that is very exciting. But yeah, so this is Parker for Shelby Cobras, Jason Razorblades Frisbee, saying fuck you, Chelios.